guess that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie is back.
I may never sing again. McMonagle here with you on this miserable Monday morning. How's everybody doing? Yep, the weekend's over. Our baseball team sucked. The summer's half over. I don't know what we're supposed to be excited about. Football's coming back, I guess. 888-808-1019. We got Rami on the other side taking your calls for the next 4 hours till 5 a.m. and the warm-up show. And we'll get to the Mets as they lose 5 of their last 6. They lose a series to the Giants, who punted on the season before showing up at Citi Field. But we got to start with the disaster, the dumpster fire, the joke that is the New York Yankees off of what I would deem to be the most disappointing series I can remember in a long time. And I happen to be on Saturday, as has become our custom here on The Fan. And I got a chance to talk about that debacle that was Friday night. And I will tell you that game. And how it was managed, how it was handled, how it went down, and then watching how the team responded over the next 2 days. You go into that game. What's disappointing about this series, the obvious nature of losing 3 games to the Marlins, blowing the game Friday night, no offense the next 2 days, continued sloppy, stupid play, and everything else that goes in it. But what was most disappointing about this series is, and I still believe this, the Yankees had a really good trade deadline. The Yankees had a really good trade deadline. They impacted their biggest need. They could have gotten a starter, and now we'll see with Luis Gil's first performance. I'm not going to go crazy about his season debut, but obviously not good. And they are still in, you know, Schlittler and Warren. And then Rodon, who was as culpable as anybody for Friday night's debacle. You don't feel very good about the rotation. But I still believe the pitchers they brought in to help the bullpen are going to help the bullpen. It was one bad outing. Ryan McMahon had a miserable game in the back end of the series. He did come through with a big-time hit that you thought might win them the game on Friday night, and he's been great overall. But I do think this Yankee team that went into the trade deadline with so many holes, went into the season without a third baseman, but went into this trade deadline with so many holes, and I thought Brian Cashman and company did as good a job as you could possibly do filling the holes, and there was some enthusiasm with the team heading into this series in Miami. They had won 3 in a row against Tampa, and Tampa's not very good, and they were literally handing players over to the Yankees mid-series, and they were selling and buying. Weird how they handled it, but that's not my problem. But Tampa Bay is in the American League East. And the Yankees can't play anyone in the American League East or win any games against anyone in the American League East. And without Aaron Judge, over this span, we knew it was going to be important to win these games. It was going to be important to keep afloat. It was going to be important to score some runs. And the offense explodes. They win 3 straight games. They have that crazy comeback against Tampa Bay on a game where they made a ton of mistakes in that night as well. Hello, Wells. Not knowing how many outs there are. But coming off 3 in a row, addressing the trade deadline in the manner in which they addressed it. The enthusiasm heading into that series, looking to now make a statement and try and get back into this division as the Toronto Blue Jays were faltering. And losing 3 out of 4 to Baltimore. And losing that first night against Kansas City. And they come out and jump out to a 6-0 lead. And you felt like maybe the worm has turned. Maybe this team, and before that, Howley, I forget, they also got rid of Marcus Stroman, which I thought was more of the, like, that was a sign of handling things differently and treating it with an urgency. And Brian Cashman was on with the afternoon show, Evan and Tiki, and he talked about the Marcus Stroman decision and how it's literally based on helping them win games against Miami. and how it's based on this one turn through the rotation and where they are, and it just didn't make sense where they were to keep Marcus Stroman, despite the money they pay him, despite the idea that you never know with the starting rotation and Luis Hill coming back. Instead of sending down Schlittler or figuring it out and keeping Stroman on the roster and doing something that made them worse, they decided to show urgency, do the right thing with the roster, and cut Marcus Stroman. Not that I have anything against Marcus Stroman, I thought he pitched fairly well since coming back from the injury, but he's non-competitive against good lineups, and it was time to move on from him, considering what else they had. And they did it. The trade deadline, 3 in a row, the right move with Marcus Stroman, heading into that game with a 6-0 lead, then a 9-4 lead, and you watch the game blow up, and I talked about this on Saturday, watching Aaron Boone, in my mind, make the worst decision he has made all year, by going to Duvall in the ninth, when it was clear, despite their best efforts of staying away from Hill and from Weaver and from Williams, and I understood that going in, it made sense. They're exhausted. They've had to pitch so much because the rest of the bullpen sucks. You just got an influx of relievers who haven't really pitched all that much because they knew they were being traded. So, hey, let's save our guys. Give them a night off. And use our new arms, especially now that we have a 6-run lead and a 5-run lead. That all makes sense. But when you watch Bird pitch the way he pitched, you watch Bednar pitch the way he pitched, you had to win that game. Toronto had lost. You can't blow a game where you score 12 runs. You can't come back, have Volpe hit a big-time home run to tie the game, score 2 runs in the ninth. Have a decision where you pinch run for Caballero. He steals second base. You get the base hit. You take the lead. Volpe adds with the double. That's a game you have to win. And I talk about urgency, and I'm going to talk about urgency a lot here. Because the manager showed none of it in that spot. It was more important with now 50 games left, or 51 or 52, whatever it was Friday night. It was more important to make sure Weaver and Williams got their rest than it was to win the game. It was more important to stick to their guns and stick to their plans than it was to win the game. Because you can't tell me in that moment you want to throw Duvall into his first time in a Yankee uniform in the ninth inning of that wacky game after both other relievers came in and blew the game. You can't tell me that was what's best. That was lack of urgency to win the game. They stuck to the plan, and I get it. Hey, it's the Marlins, bottom of the order. Duvall was the closer in San Francisco. It's a 2-run lead. Go out there and get outs. I get it. In that spot, you have to go to a guy you trust who's done it for you. And if Weaver blows the game, then Weaver blows the game. If Williams blows the game, then Williams blows the game. And that's certainly on the table. Let's not make any mistake. I know, you know, it's not just because he would have went to someone else, they would have won. God knows. But I know we talk about all the mistakes, and I know Aaron Boone is under fire because of drop of Jazz trying to make a play on a pop-up, which is absolutely ridiculous, and we'll get to it. And I know Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter are talking about, no one's held accountable. Our new favorite word, accountability. Thrust analytics and accountability are our new 2 favorite words in baseball to blame on everything. And that's fine. And I'm not trying to defend Aaron Boone. I don't put as much emphasis on the manager for dumb plays on the bases like that. I don't. I know many of you do. We can differ about it. We can argue about it. It's pointless at this moment because I'm not worried about the mistakes and pulling Jazz off the field or anything else. What I'm worried about, and people always ask me because I don't think I'm a Boone shill. I play into it sometimes, have some fun here on the radio because this is fun. And I'm a Yankee fan. I think Aaron Boone has done a fairly good job throughout his career here as the Yankee manager. I defend him sometimes because I think he gets blamed for everything that happens, and I don't think it's always his fault. But people ask me, what is finally going to take for you to think Aaron Boone needs to be fired or move on or whatever? And I always say wins and losses and whether or not he's lost the team. And has he overachieved or underachieved? And I've looked at his career, and I've always said, for the most part, he's never underachieved. 2018, they won 100-plus games, lost to the Boston Red Sox, who went on to win a championship. 19, he lost everybody. Everybody was hurt. Stanton played like 17 games. Judge missed 60. Everybody was hurt. He was plugging with Gio Urshela and Cameron Maybin, and he won 103 games and lost to the Astros. 20 is hard to judge. Shouldn't have lost that series to Tampa Bay. Played a 60-game season. Hard to judge. 21, I didn't think they were all that good. He made it to the wild card. His ace pitcher didn't give him a chance to win that game. 22, all the injuries. 99 wins, division, lost to the defending champions. I haven't felt last year the first time he's had the real best team in the American League. He went to the World Series. 23, they were a disaster. 23, that roster was garbage. They had Willie Calhoun hitting cleanup. They had Jake Bowers in the middle of the lineup. That team sucked, and they were lucky to be over 500. I've never felt Aaron Boone has underachieved with the team he was given until now. Because I don't look at this roster and see the 23 roster. I look at this offense. And yeah, sure, they get shut down sometimes, less than anybody in baseball. They have less games where they score two runs or less than any other team in baseball. And I know they're a bully offense and they don't manufacture runs and all the other crap. This is a very talented lineup. Go through it. Go look at the names. Go look at their numbers. This is a good offensive team. The bullpen just got an influx of arms. The starting rotation has Max Fried at the top of it and Carlos Rodon, who's an all-star. This team is too good for this crap. And to me, it's not necessarily about the mistakes. That's part of it. I look at the mistakes of, like, not hitting the cutoff man, not having a man cover second base, letting the back runner also tag up from first to second and throwing to the wrong base. I put those on the manager and coaching. I do. Volpe throwing the ball into the ground, I don't. Jazz not getting back to first base on a pop-up to second base, I don't. We could differ on it, but I can tell you this. For the first time watching an Aaron Boone-led team, I feel like the message is being lost. And I feel like they are dramatically underachieving. And to go into this series with all of this optimism, getting the trade deadline, and I know that immediately blew up in their face on Friday night, and all three relievers, and then Caballero doesn't make the play in right field. Everyone who was brought here contributed to one of the worst losses you could ever see. And it felt like rock bottom, it felt ugly, and then the next day they come out, and there is zero urgency, they score no runs, they get completely shut down. And then they follow it up with another ugly performance, and yes, they face some good pitching, and yes, the Marlins have played very well and have one of the best records, if not the best record in baseball since June 13th. I don't give a damn. You don't go into Miami and get swept as the playoff push. And as much as I've said, Brian Cashman has as much to do or more with the issues of the New York Yankees over the last couple years than Aaron Boone does. Brian Cashman showed in urgency. Brian Cashman went out and attacked the trade deadline. I know he didn't trade his top prospects for the biggest relievers possible, but Bednar is one of the better relievers in the sport. Duvall's a closer in San Francisco. He went out there and attacked the trade deadline. He went out there and he moved on from Marcus Stroman. He didn't just, you know, couch it and say, well, listen, we have options with Schlittler and let's keep him. No. No. And the team responded with the ugliest damn game and the worst series they've played all year. That's my problem. That's my problem. I'm not hung up on Jazz should have been taken off the field. I'm not hung. Should he have been? Sure. Why not? The only one I thought for sure was on Vivas on the play in Atlanta, because I just felt like it was an opportunity the first game back from the All-Star break to say enough of this crap. Enough of this crap. But that's not my biggest issue. It's not. It might be yours. I'll take your call on it at 888-808-1019. I'm certainly not going to argue with you. But for me, and Ben Rice, will play some clips a little bit later. Ben Rice talked about urgency. That's the problem I have. And that is the problem I've always given the Boone hater and always given the person who's called me up and said he needs to go. I've always said there has been too much of the we'll be okay with the New York Yankees. That has been the one thing that I think that messaging has been gone on too long and too far, no matter how poorly they play. And I've pointed to the idea that typically they do. They come back. They win games in September. They don't blow the division. They figure out a way to still win 90-plus games and win the division and get to the ALCS or World Series, despite the lousy play in June, July, and August. But this series felt different, because they were coming off three straight wins again, against a flawed Tampa Bay team who was selling pieces. Don't get me wrong. I'm not throwing a parade for beating Tampa Bay three in a row. But we know the struggles against the division. No matter how good the Red Sox are, and right now they're better than the Yankees and have overtaken them for second place. And that's fine. I'm sure the Yankees don't mind it. And that's more of a problem than drop pop-ups or, you know, running the bases stupid or whatever else. I care more about the idea that they're not concerned that they're in third place, and it feels like that. But that series, to come off of beating a divisional opponent, and again, no matter how bad the Red Sox have been over the years, they come in and show up and play well against the Yankees. No matter how bad the Rays have been, they play tough against the Yankees. To lose that first game of the series and come back and win three in a row, attack the deadline in which they did, starting this next month and 2 months where the Yankee schedule is very favorable for them, you're watching Toronto lose 3 out of 4 to Baltimore. You see the Red Sox getting hot. You blow a 6-run lead and a 5-run lead, and then you give up the next 2 days. That's my problem. Where the hell were the Yankees to respond to that loss? Instead, they laid down. Instead, they looked anemic. Instead, there was no fight in them. And we have seen fight from this offense. We saw fight in that first game against Miami. We saw fight dating back to the big game, even though they lost it, to battle back and tie the game up at 9 against the Toronto Blue Jays. They did it against Tampa Bay. They did it against Seattle. This team has shown fight at times. But it's starting to feel like, and again, accountability, we can have the discussion. It's not my biggest problem. Urgency is far more a pressing word for me with this Yankee team than accountability is. And when people ask me what will finally do it for you with Aaron Boone, I say wins and losses, because ultimately that's what it's about. And I say whether or not he's lost the team, and I say whether or not he's underachieved. And up until this point, I haven't felt strongly enough of those three to be where everybody else is, or a lot of Yankee fans are, that he needs to go. He's a disaster. Today, as I'm doing this show, this team is far better than the way they're playing. They are dramatically underachieving. There are far too many losses over the last 2 months that shouldn't be. And whether or not he's lost the team, I hate the way they responded to Friday night. I hate it. And I know they love him. I still think they think he's great. I don't know if they've completely tuned him out. But they are not playing with a sense of urgency, and those two games prove it. That was an ugly series for a bunch of different reasons. These three games, and particularly the way they followed that bitter loss, you're looking for a team to bounce back off of that loss. And I know Judge is in the lineup. I understand that. And I know Miami throws good pitching. And Miami's not a bad team. They are now 500. They've had a better record in their division than Philadelphia for the last 2 months. They have a better record in their division than the Mets over the last 2 months. They have one of the best records in baseball since June. I don't care. You don't go into Miami and get swept by the Marlins after that trade deadline off a 3-game winning streak with the enthusiasm put around the team. You don't do that. That's my problem. I know we're going to talk about what Alex Rodriguez said and what Derek Jeter said. I'll play the sound. I know we're going to talk about the mistakes and the sloppy baseball, and that's all rolled into winning and losing. No doubt. I'm not defending him of that. It's just not my biggest issue. I put that more on the players than I do the manager. I know many of you disagree. That's Jazz trying to make a play idiotically. And I think that's part of it, too. I've talked about that. They're despite what they tell you, and that's like part of this urgency conversation, despite what they tell you, they know exactly what's going on, and they are tight as a drum, and they can tell you anything they want in the book. Why are you trying to make a play on a pop-up? Why would you even risk being out? Like, they are trying to do too much. It's in their heads. He has, Aaron Boone has cultivated somehow an atmosphere around this team that both shows lack of urgency and they're tight as a drum. I don't know how both coexist, but that's what it feels like right now. And I could look back at every other season that Aaron Boone has managed, and I have felt like he's gotten pretty much what I expected out of the team. Sure, you'd like to win championships, and not winning them since 09 is not good enough, and Aaron Boone not winning one since he's been here is the longest tenured manager in Yankee history without one. Not good enough. I'm not saying that. But for the most part, I looked at the team and, like, could they lose to the Astros? Of course. The Astros are one of the best teams of the decade. The 2018 Red Sox went through a hot knife through butter through everyone in the postseason. Last year's Dodgers team is a really good team. They should have played better. But right now, this team is far better than they're playing. And that series was a joke. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. That's a frustrating couple of days. We'll get to the Mets as well as they struggle and lose a series to San Francisco. The top of their order continues to struggle. We saw Frankie Montas have another miserable start. The starting pitching, where is that? There's a lot of issues with the Mets as well as they keep playing this half a game up, half a game back rotational swap with the Philadelphia Phillies. But the New York Yankees just absolutely went to Miami and laid an absolute egg. And having said that, there's 50 games left. And part of the reason I'm so mad is because I do believe in this team. Part of the reason I'm pissed off right now is because they are better than this. I look at that lineup. I'm sorry. I know it's not perfect. I know it's not perfect. But look at the guys in that lineup. Look at their numbers. Look at the seasons. Look at how you feel about them. Trent Grisham steps up to the lineup. I feel good about him. Bellinger, how do you not feel good about him? Ben Rice, I feel good about. Like, I feel good about most of the lineup. Stanton's on fire. Volpe's having his best offensive stretch. Like, right now, this team should be a hell of a lot better than blowing a game where they scored 12 runs and then laying an egg and getting swept in Miami. That's when I start to question the manager, when I feel he's got a team on his hands that's far better than the crap they've put out there. And right now, that is 100% the case. McMonagle here with you as we take you all the way to 5 o'clock, 888-808-1019. Quick break. Back with your calls right here on The Fan. All right. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 1:30 on this Monday morning. The weekend's already gone. It goes by fast, man, especially when you're busy. I have the Saturday shows now. And last night or Saturday night, we went to WrestleMania. We went to SummerSlam with the boys. An amazing time. An amazing time. We had such a great time, such a fun time. The boys were so excited. So we had a good time at WrestleMania. Seth Rollins came out Saturday night. Last night we saw Brock Lesnar. It even made the update there from Peter Schwartz. Cody Rhodes is champion yet again. I got to find something to be happy about because our baseball teams aren't doing it for us. 888-808-1019. Met fans, we'll get to you. You can give me a call now if you want. 888-808-1019. What to do with Frankie Montas? What to do with this rotation, really? You look over Saturday, even in the game they won, Kodai Senga has not been great since coming back from the IL. His first start, right? His first start, he had, no runs given up but on a short pitch count. Outside of that, he's just not been good. He hasn't had good command. Frankie Montas has been awful. Clay Holmes hasn't been much better. And then you get to the top of the order, and John Amatspitz on the phone. We're going to get to him in a second. His favorite guy, Juan Soto's just not good enough. Like, let's be totally honest. He's a great player, having a somewhat typical Juan Soto type year with his numbers, but I mean, he just hasn't had enough big hits, hasn't had enough impact with this team, and that goes obviously Pete Alonso in a big slump. And we could talk about his contract and where we could see that going. I heard a couple callers talking about that with Lori. I've kind of given you my thoughts on that as well about the idea. I thought he was playing himself so well out of a Met contract. Now it's almost the opposite where, is David Stearns going to look at this guy who's faltering down the stretch, really? Because he's been as bad for almost as long as he was good. Is there a chance he opts in as I don't know. Maybe. I still think he's going to have enough numbers where he probably opts out, but you're going to pay him $30 million a year? Is he going to take a pay cut? So there's a lot there with the Mets, obviously, as they drop 2 out of 3 and lose 5 of 6. They're still only, thankfully, a half a game out of first place. The Yankees are now still 4.5 back of Toronto in first and 1.5 back of the red-hot Boston Red Sox, who I always thought was their best, you know, heading into the season. I thought that was the second-best team in the American League to the New York Yankees. That's what I was saying all offseason. Then I was gloating when they were 10 games up, and now I'm furious that they're in third place. And this series for me was a telling one for the Yankees and for the feeling in that room and for the manager. And I know a lot of you have been on him for a long time. I've certainly not sung his praises. I just defend him from some things that I just don't think are his fault. That's all. Like, I just, you know, Wells not knowing how many outs there are. You can give me, you know, this has been going on for 7 years, all you want. Like, it's up to the player to know how many freaking outs there are. Like, that's just plain and simple. And then even, like, I'll defend him real quick before we get to the calls just for a second. Like, the other thing that bothers me, and this is why I get the reputation I get, I just killed him. And if they fired him tomorrow, bye, Boone. I hope, you know, they're probably going to go right to Brad Osmus. Great. But, like, if they fire Boone tomorrow, you're not going to hear a peep from me. Not a peep. I hope Brad Osmus comes in and does a better job and this team turns it around and gets shaken up by firing Aaron Boone. Believe me, I'm not going to cry about it. But I'll defend him on things like when he still gets killed. And again, it's a small group, social media, Jazz makes that boneheaded play on the field. He goes into the tunnel with Jazz to talk to him. And then he screams at the first base coach in the dugout. We are begging for him to show some emotion and hold someone accountable and do it publicly. Because we've been told, and even by Clint Frazier, and we'll get into those comments recently, we've been told he does it behind the scenes, but that's not good enough. We want it public. We want it in the post games. We want him holding people accountable. And the coaching staff, why doesn't he hold his coaches accountable, blah, blah, blah. Then he yells at the coach in the dugout, and what do we say? Oh, what a joke. Now he's yelling at the coach. Like, he could do no right. Like, when it comes to accountability, we just don't care. Like, this is why I push back on the accountability thing, because you don't care. You don't want accountability. You don't want him yelling at the coaches, because clearly even that makes you laugh at him. Oh, great. Now he's yelling at the coach. That's exactly what you want him to do. Then he does it, and you get all like, what a joke. You know why? Because all that matters is what happens on the field. You don't care about what he says in the postgame. It pisses you off that you don't like what he says, but you won't care. If he held people accountable and took guys off the field and it still happened, you wouldn't be like, well, hey, listen, what do you want him to do? You'd be like, this guy sucks. Because that's the case. The fact of the matter is what happens on the field is what matters. Yelling at a coach doesn't matter. If they're losing and he does it, what an idiot. Oh, yell at a coach, would you? Yell at a coach. What do you yell at a coach? Oh, what an idiot. Because you don't care. Nor should you. It's about the product on the field. And there is no answer to it. And there is no, oh, if you pull him off the field, he'll never do it again. Or if you do this, he won't do it again. Or like, I think it's overblown. I care about the product on the field. And I care about the sense of urgency. And Friday night, he showed none. And then the team laid an egg the next 2 days. That's what I care about. He was unable to get the best out of this team. He hasn't been yet. And this weekend was the shining example. And it better freaking change. I don't think he's going to get fired midseason. I don't think he has to get fired midseason. I don't think that would make a change in a positive way. I want Aaron Boone to finish out the season. He's got 50 games. And he's got to do more than just slunk into the final wild card. Because this team is better than that. That's what bothers me. This team is far better than that. John in Maspeth. What's up, John?
I can't believe what I'm hearing out of your mouth tonight. Finally.
I don't want him fired. People just, what happens is I push back to things I disagree with at a volume that people can't understand why I would defend him so much with the play that's gone on. I just disagree with things, and then I argue. But I can't argue this. Look at the way this team played. Look at how they're playing right now. This team is far better than this.
D-Mac, listen, if you need me to chime up a little fire of Boone 9 to print out some banners.
I'm happier with Boone right now than I've been. I'm happier with Cashman right now than I've been in a while. Like, I've always said.
No. Listen, I'm happy with Cashman, too. I give them an A for the trade deadline.
I still want to give, people want to make decisions on the trade deadline. Yeah, listen, the team has not responded right now. There's no doubt.
I understand, the it's more on the players than the manager. But what role does the manager have when it comes to the players make a bonehead mistake? There's got to be some kind of punishment in a way. Like any job, if you make mistakes, there's a consequence, What's the consequence of these players making mistakes?
I don't know.
You got to bench them for
they got guaranteed. Yeah, I guess you don't have a guaranteed contract at work, do you? Maybe you do. I don't know. But, like, I'm just saying, like, what are they going to do? Sit them on the bench? Like, again, they also do it in front of the whole world. Like, everyone's watching. Everyone's well aware of their mistakes. You think Wells needs more motivation than having to stand in front of the New York media and go, I'm an idiot? Like, Boone needs to pull him aside, otherwise he'll do it again? Like, that's where I push back on it. Like, Wells forgot how many outs there were in the middle of the game. Everybody saw it. He's being made fun of. He makes the not top 10 sports center. He's sitting there in front of the New York media saying, yeah, no, I'm a complete idiot.
You saw him in the rain by himself, right?
What?
You saw him in the rain. Did you see him in the rain? He's sitting there.
Do you think if Boone said you're not playing the next 2 days that he'd be better the next time? It's about being better the next time. I'm not looking to punish people.
We just want to see. Boone just bench a guy for a game.
I get it.
Wells, you messed up yesterday. You're not playing today.
I get
Jazz, you messed up today. You're not going to play tomorrow,
I get it. And
that's what we want to see.
I know, but
these players want to play.
Aaron,
if you take that away from them, it's embarrassing.
Because
that player's going to be sitting on the bench the entire game, nine innings. The camera's going to be on them 20 times a game.
Yeah.
And they're going to be sitting there on the bench just thinking over in their head, I made a bonehead mistake, and now I'm sitting on the bench because of it. And you know what? That's going to, make them a better player
in the
long
run. And thanks, John. I guess that's just where I disagree. I don't necessarily think that's going to make them better at it. I just don't. But having said that, at this point, with all the mistakes they've made, why not try it? Why not do something? Because I'll tell you, Boone isn't to me, I don't necessarily put Boone. Boone is responsible for everything that happens on the field on some level. He's the manager. I get that. I don't put what happened with Jazz on him. I don't. I don't put what happened with Wells on him. I don't. I don't put Volpe throwing the ball into the dirt on him. I don't. I don't. But at some point, it's about wins and losses, play on the field. He's got to do something. He's not helping. I totally agree. So I don't know if that helps. Again, to me, like, if Wells needs to be talked to about that to make sure it never happens again, that's on Wells, man. Like, I don't need, like, what kind of player? We talk about, the old days. Like, do you think Jorge Posada would need to be told that? You think Joe Torre if Joe Torre didn't pull Jorge Posada aside and say, like, this is unacceptable, like, Jorge would just go out there and go, la, 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 Mr. T's cool with it.
Posada would have been the guy getting in other guys' faces.
But Posada, I was just watching, like, people are putting up highlights to, like, try and push back on this narrative that the Yankees are the sloppiest team in baseball, whatever, or that, teams won championships with the Yankees who played far superior and everything. And listen, Jorge Posada wasn't a good base runner. We know that. He made mistakes, too. You could find, stupid plays from every Yankee team that ever won a championship. That's how it works. But, like, I just... He's got to do something to make it better. Like that's it. And if you think that would help, I know that's what we want. I don't get hung up with what we want. I know a lot of people do. I don't get hung up. I don't need to hear anything in the postgame. I don't personally need it. I need the field. I need the play on the field to be better. I don't really care what they say in the postgame, and I don't get hung up on what I want to hear. I don't get hung up on what I want to hear. But right now, I just think, like, if you look at the sloppy play and everything, and I'm not trying to make a case for it, but They don't lead the league in errors. They don't even lead the American League East in errors. The Red Sox have way more errors than they do. They're also going into this Miami series, they were tied for the least amount of outs on the base path. The least in the league. Now, that's not a clear-cut indication of good base running team. I get that. You also want to see better numbers. They were to start the year. The numbers have declined on first to third. But that's the other thing about Friday night that pisses me off. Friday night, they were that game, they were stealing bases. They were pushing it. They were making, like, that game was exactly what you wanted. Three games in a row, trade deadline, cut Marcus Stroman, out there scoring runs, Dominguez stealing bases, Jazz stealing bases, Volpe stealing bases, going first to third, scoring runs, hitting big home runs, coming back, battling back. Like, that's what you want in the team. And then he makes a terrible decision in the ninth, in my estimation, and then the team is flat the next 2 days. That's a sign that bothers me. That's the sign that bothers me. But again, tied for the least amount of outs on the base paths in the league. The least amount. They do not lead the world in errors, despite what you think. And that's not to say they're not playing a sloppy brand of baseball, because we all have eyes, including me. But I'm not as hung up on the mistakes and holding players accountable. We'll get to the comments. I know that's the main thing. To me, it's urgency. He showed no urgency not going to his guys in the ninth. And then the team came out with none the next 2 days after blowing that game. Urgency and underachieving. This team is far better than the product they're putting on the field. When they've struggled in the past, I haven't thought the team was far better. Last year, for example, they struggled in June and July. J.D. Davis was their cleanup hitter. Like, the team wasn't good for a stretch. They lost some guys to injury. Despite having Juan Soto, the lineup wasn't very deep. I didn't look at that team and go, they are playing far worse than they are. I looked at that team and go, they're struggling right now, and they got nobody in that lineup. I don't look at this team the same way. I look at this team and I think they should be winning this division by a lot. Why is this the way it is? Tom and Ramsey, what's up, Tom?
Hey, how we doing, C-Mac? I just wanted to start off by saying I love what you do.
Good work.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
Hey, I just wanted to say this team is an enigma. Mm-hmm. Let me just start off by saying
I think they are too.
Right? I love Jazz's passion, right? And we love to see the fire.
Mm-hmm.
But then we see it too much. He gets gunned off first, right? We love seeing Volpe's aggressiveness at shortstop. He makes a two-run error, and then he hits a two-run home run. What do we think about that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Then we see Wells. We love to see the young catcher. We all love to see it. Then he makes boneheads plays. You know, it's like we want to love these players, but they don't have it. They just mess up constantly. It's sloppiness everywhere you see it. And all we want them to say, too, in the postgame is, hey, we need to play better. That's all they have to say, but they refuse to say it.
No,
Jazz in the postgame won't take accountability. Volpe won't take accountability.
Well, then
the manager just, like, excuses it all.
Yeah,
what do we think?
I disagree with you. Saying that they wouldn't, he didn't take accountability on the mistake. He said, I would do the same thing because I'm trying to be aggressive and make a play. But he did, like, Volpe has said, I need to be better.
But
Volpe
Jazz
has said
to excuse it away.
Did
you hear what he said after the game?
Yes, I did. Yeah, he's trying to tell
ridiculous.
You, he's trying to make a, yeah, I agree. Like,
what happens if the guy drops it? He's not going to make it to second,
he
will.
Well, he might. He's telling you that the turf, the ball
you
bounces
he
high. He's telling you that on a high pop-up like that, that if the ball bounces on this turf, it's going to bounce high in the air and I can get the second base. That's what he was thinking. He was thinking they're going to try and outsmart.
Of course.
It's a stupid play. I'm not trying to tell you otherwise. But he's looking at it as I'm trying to be aggressive. I played on this field. I got the sense they were going to try and pull this nonsense. That ball was hit high enough where if he lets it drop, that could bounce straight up in the air and they could be like, with egg on their face and I'll be standing at second base. Because the offense wasn't scoring, because they're coming off the miserable night, because he's trying to impact the team. I do agree that it's not like that play wasn't necessarily laziness or stupid. Like, he's trying to make a play. It's a stupid idea. It's trying to do too much. And we have seen a lot of these mistakes based on that. There's the not knowing what two outs is, that there's two outs in the game. That's just stupidity. That's just stupidity. Now, Jason Dominguez not knowing that there's two strikes in a count, or that he thinks it's the third strike in a bat at second base in Boston. That's just stupidity. Not having anyone cover second base. That's coaching and the team not having it together. Letting every time a fly ball to Jason Dominguez with first and second, they both tag every play, no matter where he catches it. That's partly coaching, partly just a bad defender. Like, that's the stuff that I do put on Boone and the organization and not making sure they're buttoned up. But, like, Anthony Volpe throwing the ball into the dirt isn't laziness. Jazz is trying to make a play. God knows why, but he thought that he had a chance to make a play if that ball dropped. It's stupid. And I agree with you. He should have just said, yeah, I made a mistake, but he's said, I'm not going to stop being aggressive. But Volpe and everyone has said we need to be better. Everyone has said it. And let me ask you a question. Because he said it, does it make it so? Like, we get hung up on stuff like, we need to be better. Does that mean he will be? Like, it's words after the game. That's it. It's all it is. It's words after the game. Plain and simple. Vinny in Rockland County. What's up, Vinny?
Hi, great show.
Thank you.
Boone's got to go. I mean, what Major League Baseball team keeps a guy around for 8 years who has won a championship?
Oh.
No one. I mean, it's time for him to go. It's time. In the old days, the Yankees, they were on the other side of the spectrum. They wouldn't keep a manager for a year.
And how'd that go?
2 years. Terrible.
Well, there you go.
Maybe you could fire
Yogi Berra after 18 games and bring back
that was crazy.
And bring back, you know, Billy Martin every third year. Right. I mean, you know.
Right. But you need a happy medium. I mean, he's not doing the job. I like the guy.
Well, I mean, I hear you. To me, he went to the World Series last year, so it's not like he's had zero success. I know that's not good enough. They went to the World Series last year. They were the best. They won the American League last year.
But this year, like you said, I hear all these things about how these guys are playing, not thinking, that it has to rest with the manager, with the coaching. That's what it is. If they got the talent that they're saying they got, then how come they're not executing?
I agree. You know? No, this is the first time I felt this way. I got to be honest. Now, look, there are other matters. The idea that just 8 years without a championship is the Yankees. It's different. But Kevin Cash of Tampa Bay has been there longer. Lovello, there's a couple managers who've been longer tenured than Aaron Boone without championships, but it's the longest start to a career for the Yankee manager without a championship. That is true. He also has a top 10 winning percentage in the history of baseball, like to start a career. So
yeah, but you know, I kind of think they're keeping him because maybe he's not making all the decisions in the game.
No, I think they're keeping him because they feel he's done a good job, and they went to the World Series last year, and they view that differently than you do. I think that's, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I think the Yankees view what he did last year. The Yankees view that he's, you know, and again, the players, what got Tibbs fired, right? Like this, you know, I got into a little bit of a Twitter thing with a guy who does a good job. I forget his name, Chris something or other. He has a Yankee podcast. He does a really good job. I'm not trying to demean him. I just forget his name, but he does a good job. And we were going back and forth about, the Knicks, at least the Knicks show vision and fired their manager. I'm like, well, or fired their coach. Yeah, because every player on the team couldn't stand him outside of the star. Like, this Yankee team, it goes to bat for him consistently. And then I even saw Clint Frazier. Let me pull up Clint Frazier's tweet. Boone is one of them. This is Clint Frazier, and I only bring it up because everybody was real, you know, when Clint Frazier was talking about how the Yankees care too much about analytics, everybody was eating it up. So Boone is one of the most positive guys behind the scenes for us. He's so chill that when he does address us while upset, everyone listens. Everyone's going to come out ready tomorrow. Behind closed doors, he's very much the same. The message is delivered to everyone in a passionate way, and you leave every meeting knowing what needs to be fixed. He cares. He wants to win. That's Clint Frazier, former manager, former player of the New York Yankees, who has nothing, no reason, and has already badmouthed the organization in a podcast and failed here and probably feels like he was treated unfairly here. And yet has no reason to defend Aaron Boone, and he's doing it. That he's got the ear of the team, that he holds player, that it's different. He holds players behind the scenes accountable. We talk about things that need to be fixed. Like, you know, the idea that it's like, I've always said that again, but I don't care about that. Like, today's not that. I'm just like, because I know the narrative is going to be the mistakes, and that's fine. That's fine. And there are far too many. I'm not telling you there aren't. I don't care that they, you know, less that they have the least amount of outs on the base paths, or I don't care that they don't have, you know, the most errors in the league. Watch the game over the last month and a half, 2 months. It's been a disaster. There's no doubt. And I thought last year's team, and this is why I'm madder this year about it than I was last year, this team is more suited to not have these mistakes. This roster is better overall. Yeah, they had Juan Soto, but this roster all throughout the team is better. That's what's bothering me. This team should be far better than this. And then just for what it's worth, when a follow-up to that tweet, someone asked him, Clint, what about Brian Cashman? Cashman is a gangster. He tells it straight up. He was my favorite member of the front office. For whatever that's worth. That's a former Yankee who feels he probably didn't get a fair shake here. And still feels that way about Boone and Cashman. Now, what does that mean? Jack squat. All that matters is wins and losses. This team's 8 games above 500. Just lost 3 in a row to Miami. That's the issue. That's the issue. And the mistakes and all that. We're going to play Derek Jeter and Alex Rodriguez's comments on it. And I think Derek Jeter's point is more to the point. You're not going to win games making these mistakes. That's the bottom line. I don't know about accountability because I don't think there's a fix. Like, I really don't. I don't think you could bring in the toughest taskmaster of all time, bring him in here and just like start benching everybody. Like, again, do you want Jazz to play timid because the last thing he wants is a mistake on the base pass? Like, you got to be aggressive too. That's a dumb spot to be aggressive. But the mistakes are far too plentiful. But for me, when I really start to think about when the manager is a problem, it's about an underachieving roster. It's about a lack of urgency to win games because now is the push. And I thought he showed no urgency Friday night in the final decision he made to bring Doval into that game. And then the team showed no urgency the rest of the weekend. That's when I have a problem. When you're underachieving, when you should be better. And I haven't really felt that strongly in Aaron Boone's tenure that the team should be much better than it was. In this moment, there is no doubt in my mind, this team should be much better than it is. And when teams underachieve to this level, that's on the manager. That's when I start to talk about a manager losing his job. Not because someone forgot how many outs there are. When the team is significantly worse than it should be. When I look at the numbers and I see the run differential, I know a lot of people don't like that argument, but it's as good as any to determine how good a team should be. How many more runs do they score than runs given up? It's a run scoring competition. The separation of runs scored and runs given up is a significant way to look at a team. It's as good as any other. And the New York Yankees are still at the top of the league in that department. The top of the league in that department. It doesn't mean they should be the best team, but it should absolutely mean they shouldn't be this bad. 888-808-1019. Quick break, update, come back with your calls. We'll get to the Mets. We'll get to some football. We'll play some sound. We'll try our best to have a fun Monday here, right here on the Fan. We'll be back with your calls next.